together in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It might be well to remember the exhortation that our brother gave us yesterday concerning the close of the gospel meeting, that we go out in a quiet way. If God is dealing with souls, they could be easily disturbed by light conversation. I know, of course, arrangements have to be made, but it would be well for us not to be occupied with things that are unbecoming after a gospel meeting is over. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. I want to look at three remembers. And here we have the first in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Here Solomon encourages those that are younger in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. Now over to Job chapter 41, just before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 41. Just for one verse, verse 8. Job 41 and verse 8. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. We'll read the verse again. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Now for a final reading in Luke chapter 16. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 16. And verse 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now I want to be simple in the gospel meeting tonight. We want to apply these scriptures to those that are unsaved in the company. And in the first scripture, remember now thy Creator, we have remembering linked with responsibility. There are responsibility as creatures to the God of heaven. And then in Job 41 and verse 8, remember the battle. And we want to apply this to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sinner, feeling their need of a Savior, lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle, the work of the cross. Do no more. Here we have remembering linked with inability. And then in Luke 16, where we have the solemn recollection of a man who had gone beyond the reach of hope, and he was called to remember, and we have remembering linked with impossibility. Remembering with responsibility, remembering with inability, and then remembering linked with impossibility. We would like to bring before the unsaved here tonight their responsibility, first of all, to the God of heaven. We're living in times at the present when men feel that they're responsible to no one. Everyone, as we've heard already, is standing on their nationality. They're saying, I am what I am. Nobody's going to have anything to do with telling me what to do. Man wants his independence. He wants links broken with everyone else around about him so that he can be self-contained, so that he can do what he likes. But the Word of God reminds us that we are responsible, whether we're willing to own up to it or not. We're responsible to the God of heaven. And all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It may be that there are some here tonight and you've come into the gospel meeting for the first time. Or maybe you've come from time to time, but you have never felt your responsibility to the God of heaven. The Word of God tells us here, remember. And it's remembering our responsibility to God. Every one of us gathered here tonight, whether saved or unsaved, have to face God. At the end of the road, at one time or another, we're going to come face to face with God. There are appointments that we don't have to keep in this life. Sometimes just the dialing of a few numbers and saying, I won't be able to make it, is enough to put off an appointment. But with God, every one of us gathered here must face God in time, or will face God in eternity. Don't let the devil delude you tonight. Unsaved in our gathering, God is. He rules in heaven and on earth, and all creatures, whether they be of the human race or of the animal family, everything is responsible to God, and God is going to do his housekeeping someday soon, and every one of us gathered here will have a meeting with God. That brings joy to the heart of those that are saved here tonight. Thank God, we look forward to meeting the Savior, meeting our Father in heaven, and it brings no dread with us, because we're accepted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some here and you've never heard about being saved at all, and when we speak, you say, what do you mean? Well, the Word of God gives us two classes when it comes to the gospel. There are those that are saved and those that are not saved. Maybe that's strange to some here tonight. You say, what do you mean by saved? Well, there's judgment that lies ahead. God is a holy God, and he hates sin, and one day he's going to bring every sin, every wicked work
in the judgment, all is going to be made manifest and put right. Those who place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are saved from the wrath to come. Judgment will never touch them. Those that are unsaved will go down under the wrath and judgment of God to be lost forever. In the company tonight, we're not speaking of those who are churchgoers and those that are not. We're not talking about people who are good living and moral and those that are living wicked lives and are immoral without God in their thoughts. God divides this company into two classes when it comes to the gospel, those who are saved, those who have found out that Christ died for them and are saved, and those that are still in their sins. Where do you stand tonight? We're not asking you what you profess. There's one thing that strikes me very forcibly when I read this passage. We have to do with the Creator, and all things are clear. Night is like day to God. There's going to be no mistakes made. When we come to Matthew 25, we find the Lord Jesus as a shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. And anyone will tell you, whether they're a farmer or not, that you can't mistake a sheep for a goat. And it's going to be clear as that. The Lord Jesus will divide. There's a division that's going to be made. Those that are saved are going home to heaven. Those that are not saved will go to hell and eventually be lost in the flames of the lake of fire. Where do you stand tonight? Are you saved? Can you say it with certainty? I know I'm saved. Can you say with a settled assurance in your heart, it is well with my soul? Or do you stand tonight in uncertainty? Are these things perhaps strange terms to you? Well, they're not strange to the Bible. Saved, that word saved is printed almost on every page of the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish its foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. In Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is the important thing for everyone in our gathering tonight. If you can't honestly say, I'm saved, then listen with all your heart. For if you never get saved, you'll never be in heaven, no matter what you might profess. And mind you, some of the people in the world have exemplary lives. We're not talking about morality. We're talking about our right standing before God. Remember, now, thy Creator, you may put God out of your heart and mind, but with everything else that you put out of your mind, you can forget about it. Even bad debt. People are running all over the place, running away from their debt. I was in Wallaceburg inquiring for a lady to see if we could get a telephone in her house. And I went down to the telephone office, and when I got there, they told me, no, we can't put a phone in her house. Her husband has debts, all kinds of them. Long-distance phone calls, a mile long. And until they're paid, she has to be responsible for them. Mind you, he only lives about 3 blocks from the telephone office, but they can't get a hold of him. He's evading it, getting away from it. But when it comes to God himself, all things will flee away. In Revelation 20, the dead, small and great, stand before God. Every covering is removed. The heavens flee away, and the earth, and men stand before the judge. and there's nothing to hide them. They're there, responsible to God. They must give an account. Remember thy Creator. We would encourage everyone in our meeting tonight to remember that you must meet God. That's our responsibility. It can't be evaded. We must meet God. Mind you, God is a God of grace. And if you remember now thy Creator, it can be a blessing for you. God wants to forgive your sin. God wants to put your sin away and bring you to a right relationship with Himself. There's a distance between you and God, and each one unsaved here tonight likely feels it. They know there's a God. They know that there's something that isn't right. Well, God wants you to remember Him so that things can be settled, so that you can get things right and enjoy His presence. God is a God of love. Oh, He desires tonight to draw every sinner to Himself. If they'll come, if they'll face their responsibility, remember, now thy Creator. But then, in Job 41, and verse 8, we have brought before us how we can be brought into a right relationship with God Himself. This verse, of course, in its interpretation applies to other things, but we're preaching the gospel tonight. And I know of no verse that just puts it just as simple as that. It gives you the plan of salvation. You say, well, what about my sin? Your sin separates you from God. Your sin, said Isaiah, has separated between you and your God that He will not hear. But when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the battle. We are unable ourselves to bring ourselves to God. There's nothing we can do to bring ourselves nearer to God at all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we turn to the cross and remember the battle, we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary as the sin bearer. He was there to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner substitute, the sinner can be brought into the presence of God in association with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many a time, the children, when they've been with us, they've come up to a door of a house, and they knew right well that they could never come and knock on the door and get in on their own. And so as we've been coming up to the door, likely you've done the same yourself, why, the little child, they put their hand in yours. They lay their hand in yours, and they come up, and they go in with you into the house, because you are welcome, they are welcome with you. And that's just like what we have in Job 41. Lay thine hand upon Him. The Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied the throne of God concerning sin. I'm a sinner. I could never get into the presence of God. But I can lay my hand upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say He died for me. And on the basis of what He has done, I lay my hand upon Him, my substitute. I remember the vow, and what else? Do no more. Isn't that nice? Do no more. You say, what about baptism? Do no more. What about my church going? Does that not merit me a place in heaven? Do no more. You say, what about the money I give to the church? What about me being a good neighbor? All those around me in the street where I live, they think well of me. That's works, man's works. Ephesians 2 verse 8 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. just like our verse says, do no more. Thank God for the day that I found it out. It was at a conference gathering. I was sitting the third row from the front in the Gospel Hall in Hamilton in the afternoon. I looked up at the preacher and I said to myself, he's preaching to the Christians. There's nothing in that for me. And as I sat there, I thought of how I had tried to work up feelings within my soul. I remembered looking one time because they said, look to Christ. And I looked and I thought, maybe if I can only see Christ over in the corner and take a step to him, I'll get saved. They said, come. And I said, where will I come? They said, believe. I said, I've done it all my life. And I was thinking about myself. But then, when I thought, oh, I'm going down to hell, and I can do nothing about it, it struck me right then, why, Christ has done the work. There's no more to be done. He died for me. And that's what takes me to heaven, the work of Christ. You say that you not have to believe to get saved. I believe the record that God gave, but it was about Christ, and it's Christ that saved the soul. Lay thine hand upon him. He suffered for sin. Remember the battle. Do no more. It's done. Done is the work that saved, once and forever done. Oh, that we could get your eye upon Christ. How many there are that stumble over the simplicity of the gospel message. They're looking within. They think there's something to be seen there, and all you'll ever find is sin. Maybe that's the problem with some here tonight. You say, I really want to be saved. Maybe you've never repented of your sin. Maybe you've never really acknowledged, I'm a sinner, just as God says. Before a person can ever be saved, they have to have a change of mind about themselves. They must take sides with God. God says I'm lost. God says I'm ungodly. God shows me in his word that I'm hell deserving. Look within, and that's what you'll see. Look to Christ, and you'll see that his work upon the cross is enough to put away your sin. Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, not ourselves. Christ died for the ungodly when? When we were without strength. When we had no ability. Remember the battle. The Lord Jesus suffered upon the cross of Calvary for sin. God, as it were, took the sin of the world. He laid it upon his Son. And the Lord Jesus felt the wrath of God against sin. You say, how can I be sure of that? God says it, and that's enough. The record of God is true. What have I to do? Remember the battle, and do no more. Everyone that's saved here tonight, they can look back in their experience when that dawned upon them for the first time. They remember perhaps the struggle that they had. They thought there was something more. Usually, we're looking for something else other than God is going to give us. Remember the battle. Lay thine hand upon him. Do no more. Then we have the remembering. It's linked with impossibility. We want you to be absolutely clear on this. There is a real hell. And tonight, there are souls that are suffering in the flames of hell. You may not want to remember your Creator. The work of the cross may mean nothing to you. If that's the case, the day will come when you'll remember your opportunities like this man did. He was reminded of his opportunities and reminded that now there was a gulf fixed eternally that never could be severed. The God of heaven himself refuses to cross the barrier for sinners. And if God won't move on behalf of sinners once they cross into the flames of hell, then there's nothing we can do. Listen, dear soul, there's some in this meeting tonight, and if you don't get stirred up about your sin, if you don't get stirred up about your need of a Savior, you'll remember when it's impossible to do anything about it. These things are real. They're not the figment of an imagination. They're not just stories made up to scare people into religion. We're not talking about religion. God is a holy God. He must punish sin to maintain His holy character. God must have the books balancing. If you're not saved here tonight, and you don't get saved, you'll remember. This man remembered his five brethren. He remembered his opportunity, but it was too late for him to do anything about it. Oh, that some tonight here would get stirred to think, I'm going down onward to hell. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to go on out into eternity, and it may be soon. It may be that tonight some God is dealing with you, and the last chance you may ever have to get saved might be tonight, and you'll go out, and before the night is out, you'll be in hell, and you'll remember 8 o'clock, the time when I left the gospel meeting in my sins, when I could have been saved. Oh, let some would turn tonight and remember, lest you remember too late.